Okay.
Let us begin episode 23.
Dun, dun,
Wow, that kind of maxed out the the old thing there. All right, corrections and comments. Let's talk about that a little bit. Mike had some really good comments about the film noir stuff.
Yes.
Hey, by the way, Mike, if you do any testing for, like, if you do any video stuff, send them in or email them or something like that. We'd love to post them on the page, on our media page or something like that. That'd be cool.
In his, I sent him an email about this, and he said that he was going to do some testing, and he would send us the results.
I don't know if he's keeping up his Atomic Goose site, but we should check that.
Too. Oh yeah, I mean we should put a link to that.
Yeah,
Blue Screen Mike has his own company called
Atomic Goose.
Atomic Goose.
Yep.
And
good
the logo's stuff. Cool.
The logo's very cool.
Love the logo.
Yeah. So maybe we'll stuff that up there and see if he's got anything up there.
I also copied this into our forums under post-production.
Excellent. Right. I noticed a little bit more activity on our forums lately.
Yeah.
So people might want to go check that out if they're interested. It's actually, I was considering, I don't know if you got that email I sent you, but I was considering instead of doing comments at the bottom of our episodes, redirecting people to the forums to make comments, because just so we can have one place to go to look for stuff. But
right. And
I don't
guess
know.
The only reason we didn't do that, I guess, was because no one ever used the forums.
Well, the other reason is that people have to sign up to do the forums, which is kind of a headache.
Oh, well, no, actually, they can post as guests.
Oh, they can post as guests.
Yes.
Oh, well, maybe we'll do that then. We'll just make the general suggestion that people do that, and if they still want to, if they find it more convenient to post at the bottom of the page, that's not a big deal.
Right.
But, yeah, if you go into the forums, I don't know, that way other people have one place to go,
that's
and you
true.
Might be able to start a discussion about
so,
something.
So, yeah, so if you go to our main page, we have a forums, and there is a podcast
discussion. And please feel free to
yeah, you guys can comment there about episodes. The nice thing about this is the comments deal directly with the
episode.
You don't have to title it. You don't have to do anything like that.
Yeah.
But
so,
you're right. If once we get used to some things in there, maybe.
And we could make a discussion about, we could open up a discussion about each episode if we want.
Yes, we could.
So whatever you guys want to do, we don't really care.
Right.
Does that sound good?
That's kind of our motto,
that
isn't it?
That sounds like a good general policy.
We don't care?
We don't really care.
No.
Because we don't expect you to really care about what we talk about.
Right.
Why would you? Yeah.
Rodian made a comment.
One.
First of all, he wanted to let us know that he was fondling our boobies in response to a challenge.
Nice.
We always like to get our boobies fondled.
Yes.
Oh,
boobies.
Yeah.
Also mentions that Mplayer supports the
AA Lib output,
but I don't know. I didn't want people to hassle with the downloading of the Mplayer and all that jazz.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right, we'll check that
out.
It
is interesting, though. I also wanted to mention I got, and I cursed myself for not having the name available.
Curses!
But somebody sent me a really considerate email about the fact that they have a lot of experiences in the martial arts, and if I need any help on the black belt thesis or anything like that, the PS was a very interesting comment. And because I've been talking about my black belt test coming up a lot, one of the things that he said, do you want to pass your black belt test, or do you want to earn your black belt?
That's a very good comment.
And it gives you a slightly different perspective on what is the real purpose of taking your test.
Right.
And, you know, you get so used to taking tests in college and things like that, and what you really want to do is pass the test to get the grade.
Right.
So that you can go on to the next test, so you can graduate, so you can get a job.
Yeah. Yeah. How often do you go, I really want to pass this test to prove that, you know, to prove my knowledge and prove myself to myself. You're just like, no, I want the grade.
Right. And I think that it's important to have the understanding that this is not something you should really cram for.
Right.
And you know, there's going to be a certain level of higher activity in your training before a test.
Sure.
Just because you need to make sure that you have everything covered. But there's also a point at which you get to, and I think it's an important perspective to have the understanding that, one, if you don't pass your test, it's not the end of the world. It's just saying that you weren't ready.
Right.
And that you just need more time to be more ready. Yeah. Not a big deal.
Well, and here's the thing, too, that's different about our classes. Mm-hmm. You don't test unless you're ready.
You don't test
unless you're ready. Chuck does not test anyone. I mean, you've already passed the test.
Right.
The point is you show up, you give your 110%.
Right.
That's it.
And that's true for most cases. I do think that black belt tests have a tendency to be a little bit different in that they really push you hard.
Oh, they do.
And I don't think there's a way for anybody to know if you're going to make it through until you make it through.
Right.
But, like I say, it's important to have the perspective that, one, it's not the end of the world if you don't. And two, that this is something that you should have been preparing for probably 6 months to a year.
Right.
And that if you try and cram everything in the last couple of months or the last month, it's probably not just going to work out. And also having the perspective that your instructor knows that they have been preparing you for the last 6 months for it.
And that's what I mean, is it's not like you wake up and go, ooh, in 2 weeks I should test for my black belt.
Right.
Because, you know what I mean? It's something that you're building up to.
Yeah.
And again, I think this kind of goes back to what we talked about several episodes ago, and I think several times now, is that what does a black belt mean?
Right.
You know what I mean? It means different things to different people.
Yeah. But it was just I thought it was an interesting perspective, and it helped me actually not be quite so nervous about the test coming up.
Good.
Because
I know you've been really nervous.
I'm terrified of this test, and more than anything else, I'm nervous about losing my wind because I just don't have a whole lot of stamina.
You know what, though? Once you get through the forms,
right,
all that's left there is for you to be thinking about
technique,
digging down, and I mean, I don't even worry about that. I mean, all you got to do at that point, all you have left to do is worry about is your wind, because the rest of the stuff you've been doing for years and years.
Right.
You and I have been doing this for years and years.
Yes.
And the whole, all you have to concentrate on after that is just getting up.
Right.
Just get up.
Just get up.
Get up and keep getting up.
And I remember when you were taking your test, I kept saying to you, one more.
Yes.
One more. One more.
Yep.
One more. Because if you focus on, okay, I just got one more. Okay, I've just got to get up one more time.
Right.
And every time you get up, you just have to get up one more time.
Yep.
And
look in the now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's important as an uki, and any kind, especially in a test of that nature.
Yeah.
Your job is to motivate that person to keep going.
Yeah.
Just, you know what I mean? And so, I'm nervous as an uki for both you and Andrew, because I need to help you guys keep going. That's my job.
Right. Right.
I think that's important to know.
I do too.
As an uki, that's a test. It's your job to motivate. It's like being a weightlifting partner.
Right.
When that guy's struggling with that last rep,
right?
You know, you don't tell him he sucks, and you don't not say anything. You start hyping him up,
and
you're yelling at him, "Go, go, go!
Come on, one more!" That sort of your job as an uki changes a little bit, because normally as an uki, it's a training exercise, right?
Yep.
So you might give the person a little more resistance. If you feel that they're kind of slacking a little bit.
Right.
You might try a different technique. You might, you know what I mean? You're a training partner with that person, and you're learning with each other.
Right.
As an uki during a testing, what you're doing is you're helping that person, not necessarily helping them to pass the test, but you're encouraging them.
Yes.
You know, and that's your job as Nuki at that point.
And there are other details you need to worry about, I think, too, that, well, I don't say worry, but that you should be aware of. You, like, you could tell in my test, I mean, you said something to me at one point, you know, relax and pace yourself a little bit. This is going to be a long day.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's going to be 4+ hours of you getting your ass kicked. So, you know, relax.
Calm down.
Calm down.
Yep. Slow down.
And that's important.
Well, and I remember, too, during your test, we would do the combat scenarios, which most people call one steps.
Right.
Or at least Taekwondo guys. we'd do a one step. You'd put me on the ground, and I would get up really slowly.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, I'm so exhausted, and I'd like crawl up. I wasn't all that tired. I was just giving you a chance to get a couple of breaths in.
Right.
And
which I appreciate.
And I don't know if the judges recognized it or not, like as a sort of a scam for me just to have you get a breath back. But I thought to myself, even if they did, they would recognize it as a classmate helping out another classmate.
Right.
And that to me is far more important and far more valuable to the school than you getting pushed so hard that you're exhausted.
Right, to the point where I vomit.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I'm gonna tell Chuck to bring a bucket, because
yeah. I'll tell you what, man.
I thought I was gonna throw up when I was sparring on Tuesday. I was exhausted. I was like,
Now you know what the feeling is like, so you'll be a little more prepared. You know what I mean? It's that pre vomit where the mouth starts to water.
I'll tell you what, it's really interesting, because even when I was sparring, I can get into it and I can spar and spar and spar, and then when I stop, that's like I can't breathe.
Yep.
I'm gonna throw up.
It's because your adrenaline dumps off after that. When you're in the middle of it, you can't tell.
No.
You know? And Dan, by the way, hurt his knuckle.
Yeah, I was actually going to talk about this in the martial arts section.
I think we're already into the martial arts section.
I think we
are,
too.
I wasn't sure what we were going to talk about this week.
That's all right.
This turned out really well.
I did want to talk a little bit about dealing with injuries.
Yes.
And the disclaimer is that we are not physicians. We are actually idiots, don't know fuck all about injuries or how to heal them or whatever we're talking about. So don't listen to anything we say.
Ah, good.
With that said...
Okay. I like where this is going.
Yeah. With that said, when, like, I bruised my finger pretty bad.
It's pretty swollen.
It's pretty swollen. And I'm thinking that I just need to cut it off.
Yep.
And start growing a new one.
There you go.
Now, that falls into the category of don't listen to us at all.
Yes.
No, but I do think, I'm 34 years old, and
damn.
I think that genuinely, the older you get, the more, not necessarily careful you have to be, but the more aware of your injuries you have to be.
Yes.
You cannot ignore an injury anymore.
Yep.
Because it will come back to bite you.
Yes, it will.
I pulled a hamstring about 4 years ago, and I still feel it.
Yep. I messed my shoulder up 2 years ago, getting thrown around in the dojo, and to this day, every once in a while, that damn thing, I mean, it hurts.
Yep, yep. So I think the important, maybe, tip is to, one, be more aware of it, and take it more seriously than you might have before. I mean, the sort of the macho thing to do is just shrug it off and go, I can suck it up.
Yeah, but guys are infamous for that.
Yeah, yeah. But in fact, if this swelling doesn't go down by tomorrow, I got this yesterday, so if after 2 days my swelling hasn't gone down, I'm going to go see the doctor and get some x-rays.
Have you been icing it?
I have been icing it constantly, thanks to martialarts101.com.
Yes.
Because I read that ice and heat, and I'm probably going to heat it day three or day four. I have to double check the article.
Yep.
By the way, martialarts101.com just sent us a couple of t-shirts.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you very much for that, guys.
That's pretty cool.
That's great.
Like, I don't know. I feel like I'm fucking famous and people are giving me free
gifts. I know. It's crazy.
It's wild.
It's pure crazy.
Yeah, yeah. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, very cool.
But yeah, so I guess our martial arts tip is to take injuries a little more seriously than you may have in the past.
Yes, 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 yes.
Because they can add up and they can get pretty bad pretty quick.
Yep.
Most of the time, I will say that you can rely on an instructor to give a general, yeah, that's not that big a deal, or yeah, you should probably go see a doctor about that.
Right.
Because they generally have seen a lot of injuries before and have a good knowledge about, it's a really bad bruise, or you probably want to have that x-ray.
Well, the last injury I had was my ankle when we were sparring. I took a really good shot to the ankle.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And I tell you what, I didn't go to the doctor. I probably should have.
Really?
Because my ankle, I mean, I've only ever broken one bone in my body, so I can't relate
to
the experience.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, it was nasty looking.
Yeah.
I iced it. I used a blur treatment at least two or three times. A Bleuer is basically an herbal rub-on type stuff. There's lots of stuff.
I don't lots know what they call it.
Tiger balm and stuff like that. But this is a hand.
Did that jowl for the...
Right. This is something that Mushtaq, our Shilat instructor, it was a batch of stuff that he actually created himself.
Yep.
He gathers all the components. He cooks it up. He does it. It's really good stuff.
I should use that on my finger. I forgot about
that. Yeah, it's really good stuff.
Reduces swelling.
Helps to reduce swelling and helps to break up the stuff that makes bruises. Anyhow, I gave myself Bleuer treatments, ice every night, kept my leg elevated, and now my ankle it didn't get any worse. It got much better relatively quickly because I really did take care of it.
Yeah.
I jumped on it immediately.
Yep.
Ice, 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 Bleuer, ice, give it some rest, take it easy on it.
Yep.
And it worked out well.
So that's the key, especially if you're sparring a lot.
Yeah.
I think, because that's where injuries have a tendency to happen most is during sparring. Oh, man, I clocked Dale in the head last night.
Did you?
Yeah. And it was a mistake. I just, he threw something out, and I came around the side with a hook, and bing, just binked him in the head. Oh, we have a cat on the table.
Get off, cat.
Oh, jeez.
Damn.
That's drama, dude.
Little bastard.
Yeah, so especially if you're sparring a lot, pay close attention to your injuries.
Yes. The dogs have come.
That's the dog part of the show. We haven't had a dog part of the show in a long time.
They heard the cat.
Yeah. Yeah, getting tossed off.
When I say cat, the dogs get hungry.
I said the cat got tossed
off. The gat. All right.
Let's see, did I want to say anything else? Did I get any other email? Nope. Don't think so. But I do, whoever that was, I appreciate your PS and sort of the new outlook on the black belt test.
Yeah. That was good. And it sparked an interesting
little side conversation there.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. So let's move on to tech tips. Get an antivirus program. We've talked about viruses and things like that, and that we think it's a little overhyped, and that we've really never had one. It's not really a concern. Now, I am notorious for not rebuilding machines very often, and I have a machine at home that I probably haven't rebuilt for 3 or 4 years. I have a high speed internet connection. I have it hooked up to a router.
Yeah, cable, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's not directly hooked up to the internet. I have essentially an IP address that cannot get onto the internet.
Good.
Directly.
Right.
I downloaded an antivirus because I knew that there was a new version of some really bad virus surfing around the internet. And I thought, what the fuck? I listened to Security Now, and they talked about all these list of free antivirus programs. Downloaded one, had 4 viruses on my machine.
Yep.
3 of which were Trojans.
Yep.
So... It may be a little bit of paranoia, but I don't know that it's necessarily overhyped. The link to this antivirus program is absolutely free.
Yes. In fact, I downloaded it last night
and installed it
on my machine.
And how'd you do?
Well, here's my deal. I have the same hookup you do. I've got a cable modem. I've got a wireless router. However, I do have ports open because I have my own web server.
Well, see, I'm also running Zone Alarm.
See, and I'm not running any of that stuff.
I'm running Zone Alarm, which is a firewall,
right?
But it's a firewall for incoming and outgoing.
Yep.
So every time a program tries to hook up the internet, it throws up a flag and says, this program is trying to hook up the internet. Do you want to let it?
Right.
And then you can click always if you want.
And the built-in thing for XP does that, too.
It doesn't do outgoing traffic, though, does it?
Oh, just incoming?
I think so.
Yes.
It does outgoing?
It does incoming. You're
it
right.
It does incoming.
But here's what I found. I got my first actual, visible virus where weird things happened to my machine. So I took Spybot Search and Destroy.
Yep.
What's the other one called? Hijack This.
Yeah.
All these things, ran everything. Cleaned everything up. Reboot. Still there. Reboot. Set to clean it up.
Dude.
So I'm like, crap. So I find all this stuff. I finally now got it all taken care of. But I don't run antivirus software. I don't. It's the first time I've ever had a virus.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. After running all those programs, they found things that I couldn't tell were there, but they were there anyway.
Right.
And so now, before I was never a proponent of it.
Me
I'm
either.
Always like, rebuild your machine or whenever if you have a problem.
Yeah.
I'm going to recant that statement, and I'm going to say, download some antivirus software and put it on there.
Yep, me too. And especially this one that I've used seems relatively thin.
I like it. It's really unobtrusive. In fact, when I was playing DDO with the other antivirus software I had downloaded, I don't remember the name. But I had to turn it off because it was making me laggy. This is called Antivirus.
Well, this is really This is really neat. This is why they did it this way. antivir.us. So their URL ends up being antivirus because you can type in the .us and it goes to their site.
Oh.
This link that I have provided is a more direct link to the personal edition of their software that's free. But that's so it's antivir without the US, and that's
and then
their
US.
Clever trick to
I like it.
Have the .us.
I really like it. In fact, it found a couple of things when I installed it. It was much it's not obtrusive. It's not
And it's pretty straightforward to use.
It does
they give
seem
decent
thin.
Reports.
You can run DDO and it wasn't lagging me.
Yep. Yep. So there you go. Get an antivirus software. That's our tip of the week.
Tip of the week.
Tip of the week, you know. Oh, tip of the hat to the tip of the week.
All right, cool.
So any more tech tips?
No. That's all I got.
Don't stick your dick in the floppy drive.
There you go. Right. Unless it fits.
Unless it fits. I guess. Read error. Oh, baby.
Man.
That was one of our original tech tips.
I think so.
Yeah, early on.
All right, let's move on to tech and science.
AOL and Yahoo suck ass.
Yeah.
Ew.
Okay.
Here's the deal. A little Yahoo analingus. Yahoo!
Here's the deal. Yahoo and AOL are going to start selling the ability to for emailers, for people who want to send basically junk mail to an email account.
Oh, burn. Right?
So what's happening is their spam filters are so good that people who have apparently claiming legitimate reasons to email you junk...
Yes.
Can't get through the spam filters. So now AOL and Yahoo are saying, we will let you send your email through our spam filters.
Yeah.
Which is crap, which is why I say they're shit. But they have to prove that we requested the email. My personal opinion is, I'm going to call bullshit. Because you're going to get, it's bullshit, all right?
No, what it is it's a way for Yahoo and AOL... to charge those companies a bunch of money,
yes,
to say we will let you get to our people for a bunch of money,
right? So you know what, AOL, Yahoo, screw you guys.
My Yahoo account's my junk mail account anyway.
That's my junk mail account too.
And AOL is notoriously evil.
Yes.
So actually, I've been listening to Keith and the Girl, and she has had this. She essentially what sounds to me anyway. Like $170 of erroneous charges on her credit card for an AOL account that she never had.
Oh. Well, of course, and at that point, you can't really blame AOL for that. Somebody may have stolen some of her identity or
something.
Yeah,
but phone call after phone call, it's like 3 and 4 hours on the phone at a time.
Ugh.
She called one lady and pretended like she was just bawling. She was like, I don't know what to do. I'm so upset. They're charging my card, blah, blah, blah. And all the other lady on the phone said was, well, I can't help you. Is there anything else I can help you with?
Oh, nice. Nice.
So, all yum, right. Yum, suck that ass.
That's crap. Okay.
What's the next one?
Faster patents for software. This pisses me off.
Does it now?
All right.
They weren't being fast enough.
Yeah, there's some company who basically, here we go, they have a proposition here. Instead of doing away with software patents completely, they suggest having a separate type of patent that is approved more rapidly and is good for 4 years.
Who would suggest getting rid of software patents completely?
The folks at IEEE, I-E-E-E, they're trying to come up with a compromise on an issue of software patents. You want to know what happened here? I'll tell you what happened.
Yeah, what happened here?
This company submitted a patent.
Yeah.
And somebody either said it was going to take a long time to pass it through, or they said, you can't patent this. And so these guys are pissed off because they can't get a patent. And so now they're saying, well, let's do something different for software, and let us get patents more easily and faster, only let them last for 4 years. And I will call bullshit. You should see. We get to view patents all the time where I work.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And some of the patents that come through there are the most ridiculous things you've ever
I
seen.
I think so, too.
And it's just, it's out of hand.
Yeah.
It's out of hand. Yeah. And people, the patent office needs to be, I think just needs to be done over with. They are going to ruin the software industry. You wait and see. There's going to be a lot more issues about patents.
Well, the IEEE is a nonprofit organization. And all they do is they're the industrial and electrical engineering association. No, I don't know what the last E is for, but they represent a, you know, anyway, I don't know who the fuck they represent. All right. But that's just really strange.
Like, yeah.
What the fuck would 4 years give you?
Right.
You know?
Well, you know what it gives them? It gives them a 4-year period to nail other people who are violating their patent and get the money from it.
But a court case takes longer than 4 years most of the time.
Something dirty's going on there.
I mean, by the time they get through the court case, their patent's going to be invalid anyway.
I don't know.
It's really weird. It's
maybe. I don't know. We just had a court case with two of our competitors where one of them was using a third-party piece of software that violated a copyright. They bought a third-party piece of software.
Wow.
Integrated with their system.
And how are they supposed to know?
And it violated a patent.
That would be the responsibility of the third party, in my opinion.
No.
Not them.
No, because the third party had nothing to do with it. The third party didn't violate a patent.
It
was the fact that this third-party piece of software was running on a jukebox. Combined, that violates a patent because of what the third-party software allowed them to do.
Yeah,
and that's what I mean by ridiculous.
That is ridiculous. That's like...
So we bought a third-party piece of software. We had nothing to do with it, and we use it to complete a task. Well, when that task is combined with a jukebox, now all of a sudden you violated a patent.
Yeah, I think that the problem with the patent office is there's this balance between...
And intelligence and douchebaggery?
Well, I do think there's a law, or not a law, but I mean something about patents where you can't get a patent for a common idea. I can't patent wearing shoes.
Right.
I can't patent scrolling things on a computer.
Right.
Because it's just, it's general and it's obvious.
It's a general and obvious, yes.
Whatever. And so, to me, putting a piece of software on a jukebox to control songs is like, that's sort of obvious. It's just an evolution of the technology.
And here's the funny part. You want to know what violated the patent? It was updating a jukebox client.
See,
the process of updating a computer while it's part of a jukebox, if you do it in a specific order, like, I don't know. It's crazy.
It just doesn't make any... That's,
right, because that's an obvious way. That's how you update computers.
And I think the problem is that I don't know much about the patent office, but potentially what's happening is that you have a lot of old school people at the patent office that are still thinking in terms of non-technology and non-software.
Yes.
And they don't understand that updating a jukebox is not it's not an original idea.
Right.
I mean,
It's everyone does. It's a common everyday thing.
Right. And the idea of, I want to put a computer in a jukebox to play music. Okay, how do I get new music on that jukebox when I want to?
Right.
Well, I'll update it from a central server.
Right.
That's an idea I just fucking had. Yeah.
And believe it or not, that idea you just said is patented.
See, and that to me is bizarre.
It's ridiculous, because there are only so many ways you can do... I mean, right? There are only so many things you can do. You have a centralized server, which in and of itself is not a... Is a common concept.
Right.
You know? That's like...
Now, if you used a special customized protocol to do that...
Right.
Like, you didn't use TCP/IP.
You wrote your own
custom protocol to do it more efficiently than what was commonly available, then yes.
Right.
That is patented.
And I'll agree with that.
That could be patented. But if you're just hooking technology together to like the menuing system on the iPod, there was a big hubbub about that not too long ago. It's a tree-based structure.
Yep.
That's what DOS does.
Right.
How can you patent that, you know?
Yeah. You shouldn't be able to. The problem is the people in the patent office don't have the qualifications to determine whether or not it's common or not.
Yeah, and I think that's the problem. The other thing, and I think that's that what the point of the 4-year thing might be getting to, is that by the time 4 years goes by, like, for example, the idea of a podcast, right? A podcast is an RSS feed, which is XML,
yep,
right? An MP3 and an internet connection.
Right.
That's what you need for a podcast. Then obviously you need a reader. to pull the RSS feed to see if you have new episodes. Right. Well, it is an original idea to combine those things together in that particular way, but none of the individual components are really all that special, and certainly putting them together in that way is just sort of going, these are kind of cool technologies, let's shove them together and see what happens.
Right.
You know, or it's actually a matter of, well, I want to record MP3s and post them on my blog. So now I start recording MP3s and posting them on my blog. Oh, well, there's this concept of RSS. Boy, what if instead of doing text in my blog, I just stuck an MP3 in the tag where my blog goes? That's kind of a cool idea. Let's do that. Is that patentable? No.
Right.
Is it an original idea for a short period of time? Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe you're the first one to think of it. I don't know. Maybe there should be somewhere on the planet where you just get credit for shit.
There you go. You know? Like a big billboard.
I did this first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, you put it on Wikipedia, and then other people can come in and change it, like the government did.
Well, you know, I invented the phrase, stick a fork in it, it's done.
I know, you keep saying that.
And now I have no proof.
Right.
I need a website to
say. It's been in a movie and all that craziness.
All that stuff.
All right. So, I'm going to move on to my revenge from last week's conversation.
Speaking of federal stuff.
We weren't really, were we? Yeah, sort of.
Patents, federal patents.
All right, last week we had this talk about how I said not common.
That's
for
right.
That.
Oh, it's a spelling revenge. Oh, shit.
I have proof.
Okay.
I have proof.
Proof.
And now I did a search here. This is all internet case law. And in fact, I went through all of these and found all of a handful of cases that even dealt with getting people's identities when crime was involved, especially when you talk about...
Okay. Oh, good.
All right?
Good,
and I'm
going
to give you a specific example
here. Okay. Okay.
Here's the John Doe one you're talking about. But the one I wanted to talk about specifically had to do with Verizon. And I will give you...
Typing.
Yes.
Enter.
Sorry,
go.
I'm a little slow.
Processing.
Where are we at? We're at Perkins Coie.
Now, wait. Just to...
LLP.
Just to refresh everyone's memory about the argument that we had last week was... We were talking about whether it's a legal precedent for an ISP to reveal a user's identity,
yes,
to the RIAA,
yes,
or the MPAA, or any other company for that matter, if they have a lawsuit pending,
right,
or want to pursue a lawsuit,
right,
against that user.
Right. Now, your claim last week was it's common occurrence for people to do that, and that it's accepted that
they
can
file a John Doe lawsuit against that person and then have a court order
and here
to
we
reveal
go.
Their identity.
Here we go. Case law.
Okay.
The RIAA versus Verizon Internet Services.
Yes.
The Recording Industry Association of America sued Verizon Internet
this
Services.
This is from 2003, by the way.
Seeking information on one of its subscribers who the RIAA suspected was offering a large collection of MP3s for download. Verizon refused to comply with the subpoena for information. The district court granted the RIAA's motion to compel. However, in a second decision, the court denied Verizon's motion to quash, blah, 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 blah. The Federal Circuit Court reversed the holding that the RIAA could not subpoena internet service providers to obtain identity of person swapping, blah, 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 blah. The RIAA may still file suits using the user's internet protocol address. So, the court upheld the fact that Verizon did not need to reveal the private information of the users.
So, that's very interesting that Verizon even bothered to fight it.
Right.
I think, anyway.
And they won.
That's impressive.
Right.
And they won.
And that was in 2003. Updated in 2004, United States Supreme Court denied the certiorari. They probably denied to hear it. All right. I went through this whole thing and looked for privacy issues because my inference is it's not common.
Ah.
Right? You said it was very common that people got their information revealed because I read the article about the UK. You said maybe it's common or maybe it's not common in the UK. I said, no, it's not common in the US. You said, nah. Anyway, go to this link we have on our site.
So it looks
Perkins
to me.
COIE. And you can look up all the internet case law and look up privacy
this
issues.
This is kind of a cool internet site, regardless.
Yes.
I mean, no matter what you want to
say. And that's what
for.
I thought, too. I really did this because the link is really cool. Let you look up internet case law.
Yeah.
But it is noteworthy that for someone to reveal information over the internet is a bigger deal than going to the bank.
Yes.
My question last week, which I don't think I phrased properly, was, isn't it interesting that the rules that already are in place for non-internet problems
right.
don't aren't applied to the internet.
You know, and I was thinking about that too, and I think one of the reasons for that is that there is an assumed anonymity when you're using the internet. That's why
right.
that's why I think porn is so popular on the internet. Because,
of course it is.
Because
people won't know.
Well, if you've got to go to the, I don't know, if you've ever walked into the back room at a what the fuck am
video
I trying
store?
To say? At a video store and then gone up to the counter with your porn.
Oh yeah.
It's very awkward.
It's very awkward.
Whenever I do it, I'm like, I always mention, oh, last time I did it, I was like, I just want to double check. Is my wife on the account?
So you
like,
can just
like I have a wife. I'm not some weird lonely perv that just rents porn.
Here's the thing, though. The fact that they have to put it in a back room and put a door over it and make it so discreet in
says
and of itself
it right there.
Says it right there.
Right.
It's just it's
although if you've ever seen the covers of those things, they obviously can't put it
they're,
out.
They're, yeah, they are raunchy.
Yeah. But it's assumed anonymity.
Yes.
And I do think that there may be portions of the government, and more likely the ISPs, that understand that if it were revealed that anonymity doesn't exist,
right,
then it would probably harm our economy.
It would change the nature
it
of
would
the
change
internet.
The internet. Yeah, I agree. So I think that it's an important thing for our society to maintain the illusion that you have that anonymity.
Right.
And in fact, one of the things that I was talking to somebody about, they were concerned about credit card theft on the internet.
Right.
And it was revealed to me that it is easier to physically, either A, if you're a waiter,
right,
you know, grab your credit card number, write down the security code on the back,
yep,
write down the date, go on to Amazon and order your shit.
Right.
Or B, actually tapping a phone wire at a gas station, because all that credit card information is run clear text.
Oh no, are you serious?
There is no encryption for your data from the pump at the gas station to the
Holy
bank.
Holy shit.
Right.
Whose brilliant idea was that?
So when you go on to Amazon and you have 128-bit encryption for your credit card, that is a million times safer,
right,
than any other activity you're doing in the real world. Yet there's a different perception about the
right.
internet.
Well, technically it's probably easier to sniff somebody's internet connection than it is to somehow tap into the line between.
That's probably true. To physically tap into that
yeah,
line.
Yeah, and you'd have to physically tap into that line,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah,
so,
that's
interesting.
True. So,
all right. Well, anyway, I wanted to defend myself from last week just
right.
to prove I wasn't a total
so,
idiot.
So the real
idiot.
The probably our conclusion is that while it's done, it's not common.
Correct.
Okay.
And you're right. And it's interesting that the reason that that anonymity
yes.
On the internet is there is really so people can do things that aren't really morally or necessarily legally accepted and get away with it.
Right. Yep.
I find that interesting.
I do too. It's like we're sort of that's sort of
right,
okay.
Right, because if it was fine and dandy to do it in the spotlight where people could see you,
right,
then you wouldn't care if you were anonymous.
Well, and this is the thing, is like if you use Gmail, for example,
yep,
right? If you go to Gmail and you go to an https://mail@mail.google.com,
yes,
you get a secure connection to Google.
Right, yep.
Most people don't do that.
Shit, I don't even do that.
They go to mail.google.com. That means every time, when you hit that send button, your mail, your email is being sent over the wire, clear text.
Yes.
Most people don't even think about it and don't. They might care if they
However,
knew.
I think that they route any of your mail when you send that stuff through their secure stuff, even if you go through the other HTTP.
Right.
Because there's the
little
padlock that shows up on the link when you go there. You ever notice that in Firefox?
Right. But what if you're at Panera?
Right.
Right? the wireless signal that you're sending to the wireless router is also being sent to every other computer in the building.
Yes.
And I've been kind of curious about going to Panera and sniffing some packets, see what I could pick up.
I'd be curious to
just
see.
Just because I'm curious about it, you know?
Right.
Now, I do think there's security in numbers.
Yes.
It's just so unlikely to happen. But
right.
It's not something really people think about all that much.
No. So. And to be honest, they shouldn't have to. I mean, in a perfect world, you shouldn't have to worry about that crap.
No.
Unfortunately, we do.
And really, who gives a shit if they see your email to your
right.
buddy about...
Because Bob
your
told
buddy's
Cindy
sister
that,
is hot, you know?
That Chrissy had big boobs.
Right. Right, who cares?
Right.
Some hacker's going to be like, oh, big boobs.
speaking of Gmail.
You like that?
I do like that. This is I love this.
Okay. Gmail now includes the chat logs inside Gmail.
Yes.
And so
from Google Talk.
If you use Google Talk, you can log your chat inside Gmail.
Right. I think that's brilliant.
Interestingly enough, right, the day after they did this, I had all of my Gmail contacts are now in my Google Talk list. They've been automatically added. I went away from Google Talk, and then I went back to it just because it tells me when I have an email,
right,
which is nice. And I am client, I gotta say, it doesn't really matter that much,
right,
unless you need a cross chat thing.
Yes.
Which I don't need, so I don't care.
Did you notice, though, that not only are they including the logs, but soon to come, you can chat in Gmail with Google Talk.
Oh, really? That doesn't surprise me at all.
Right. So your chat client will be a web-based, which,
chat
of course, they're going to use Ajax for. There's already Ajax-based
client. Right.
So they're going to use Ajax, which is what Gmail is based on.
Very cool.
So you just... open up Gmail, and you've got everything you need right to Gmail.
Yeah.
It's the Google OS. It really is. I mean, think about it.
Oh, I've heard they're coming out with one.
All your contacts, all your stuff.
Yeah.
I've already got it. I mean, it's Gmail and Google.
I've heard they're building a ground-up OS.
Are they?
Yeah.
I'd be really curious to see if it's going to be like a nice, lightweight, basically a dumb terminal that's got a big back end.
Hopefully it's not a white background.
Well, right. Or at least it's customizable.
Yeah.
Sometimes I like the white.
Oh,
someone's getting called.
Busted. Ah, sorry about that.
Dan's wife calling again. I think she does it on purpose.
No, she has no... I'll tell you a funny story. Because we're sort of done with the Google thing anyway.
Yes.
There's this guy that does a podcast called The Twisted Pickle. I think that's what it's called anyway.
Weird.
And he does it... without his wife knowing about it. So his wife doesn't know he does the podcast. And I guess I haven't listened to it, but he rants about his wife, or he says how hot other chicks are, or like all the shit that is the last thing you'd ever want your wife to hear. And everyone is amazed at the fact that he has the balls to do this, because people are like, well, your wife's going to, seems like she's going to hear it at some point. Meanwhile, I'm thinking, I do a podcast. My wife knows I do a podcast. I say, honey, I'm going over to Sterling's to do a podcast, and never listens to the podcast. So I really wouldn't be fearful of my wife hearing into this, because
she doesn't listen.
She doesn't listen anyway, and I can't imagine she ever would.
Yeah, my wife doesn't listen either.
No.
No, I mean, the only time she ever hears it
is when she's in the room.
Yeah.
All right. So, anyway, the Google chat stuff, that's pretty cool.
I like that.
Obviously, they're building up their
functionality. I'm a total Google fanboy, I admit it.
I am, too. There's some products like the Google Desktop that were just a little...
It's too much for me.
It's too heavy, you know?
And I use the search index, actually, at work. Super fast if I want to grab something off my computer.
It is super fast, but also I feel like it's processing in the back end sometimes.
It is.
And it's
In fact, I've been having to turn it off while I do some testing because it gets a little obtrusive.
Yeah.
Obtrusive.
Wow,
big words for me.
Big word. That's
2 points. Sweet.
All right. So
cool stuff from Novell.
Yeah, there's a new, what looks to me like...
HGL.
Yeah, dude, this thing is sweet. Jeff just sent me this. It's a X server layer So it layers on top of X for Linux, and it's like GIMP or GNOME or one of those other ones. But it's a 3D.
Of course, GIMP's actually a paint package, but that's okay.
GIMP, what am I thinking of?
I'm thinking of GNOME and KDE.
It's 3D, and check out the demos because it's pretty cool. It supports full transparency.
Wow.
Supports switching desktops in sort of a cube-style animation deal.
A la the Mac.
Supports, you hold down one of the keys, and all your Windows thumbnail out to the side so that you can see them all.
That's crazy.
So if you have Windows layered on top of each other, it's pretty neat.
Huh.
So
I'm going to have to check this out.
Yeah, if you're into Linux and running Linux on your machine, then I would suggest trying this out because it looks pretty freaking cool in my opinion. And it's...
Yeah.
That's one of the benefits of Linux, you know, is that you can have a bunch of different shells.
There's some cool...
I don't know if shells is the right term or not, but...
Yeah, and by the way, if anybody out there has figured out how to run DDO on Linux, I would love to know how.
There's a new version of Wine. Did you see that?
When did it come out, you know?
A couple of weeks ago.
I don't know. I tried a couple of weeks ago is when I tried downloading the stuff. The problem is DDO runs on the .NET 1.1 framework. And you have to do some really crazy... I'm not capable enough. You have to do some really crazy shit to get the
framework running on Linux.
Yes.
Oh,
and in fact, you can't even get the framework. What you can do is there's a special framework you get running that can run the .NET framework type applications in it.
Wow.
And use a combination of Wine and this other thing. And
wow.
It's too confusing. I'm a tech geek,
and
but not that much of a geek.
I'm shocked they did it in .NET.
Well, you got to imagine, 2.0 came out when? A year ago, maybe?
The 2.0 framework?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. That's
You're saying they didn't go into 2.0 versus... I thought you were saying they chose 1.1 over 2.0. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying I'm surprised they chose the framework at all.
Why? .NET's huge now.
It's just... I don't know. A full-blown application like that with heavy, heavy graphics?
Oh, no. They only run the login information. It's a shell.
Oh, the communication portion of it.
Right. It launches the actual player client. In C. I mean, that's all, yeah.
That's just C++.
Yeah,
that
the .NET framework is purely a front-end communication layer for the website
and all that stuff.
So that's the only thing you need it for. If I could figure out how to launch the D&D client without having to go through the login... But of course
they might have it.
No, they can't. Well, you have to log in.
No. I mean, they may come out with a Linux version of that.
Well, they said they're not going to, at least not right now, because they're so busy trying to get the damn thing to work.
Right. That's true.
All right, we're getting ahead of ourselves here.
So let's move on to movie stuff.
I found a very interesting site, the top 10 grueling
film shoots. Yeah, this is a cool site.
And actually, most of the directors in here...
Now, this doesn't have anything to do with, like, gruel, as in the food. Right?
No, right.
Okay, they're not flinging gruel at each other.
Right.
Which is a whole other category of film shoots.
So anyway, movies like Apocalypse Now, and I'm just going to totally ignore what you said.
And Apocalypse Now.
And More Apocalypse
and
Now.
And More Apocalypse Now.
I didn't even know a lot of these. The Fitzcarraldo? The Fitzcarraldo.
The Amazonian Jungle.
Pink Flamingos.
Oh.
Anyway, you guys can read all these.
Pink Flamingos?
Yeah. And most of these films were shot by, like...
The John Waters film?
Scorsese and... who's the other guy who they asked? Who filmed Apocalypse Now?
I can understand. I mean, if you haven't seen Pink Flamingos, don't.
Coppola. Francis Ford Coppola. His name is mentioned in here, like, four times.
Right.
So of the top ten, like, four of his films have been the most horrible sets to be on because of... Like natural
just
disasters
conditions.
And diseases and
just
and,
conditions in general.
Yeah, I think one of the original guys they picked to be the lead actor died, and at one point Marlon Brando was supposed to be in the movie and he came on severely overweight.
Yeah.
And
I would imagine they're probably gonna do a lot of this digital nowadays. I bet that's fading more and more because they'll just do the scenes in a giant
blue screen
room.
Yeah, well, and that's why you do a big studio set. What do you call that?
A big studio set?
Yeah, there's the real name for it, though.
It's called a large studio set. A studio set in which they have big things.
I hate you.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
Anyhow.
Interesting read.
It's
the top
ten
grueling film.
Fun stuff.
Film shoots. I found some interesting.
Oh, wait a minute. I've got some more movie stuff.
We're still doing Derek, movie stuff. Oh, movie stuff.
Movie stuff, because Derek replied to our reply to his reply.
Ah.
I saw the preview for V for Vendetta.
Yes.
And that actually looks pretty good. I think that's got some promise to it. I also saw the preview for The Seven Swords. They don't have a preview. They just have a website.
Right.
That looks pretty good.
The concept looks good.
The concept looks good. Has potential. And what was that other movie?
Silent Hill.
No.
Yeah. We commented on Silent Hill looks like the special effects.
What was the movie preview where like the bus flips over and all that stuff?
Oh, that's...
the one that we didn't know anything about.
Oh, good Lord.
We'll have to look at our last episode. Hang on, people. Clicking, 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 scrolling, scrolling, scrolling.
Clicking, 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 scrolling, scrolling, scrolling.
Oh, shit, episode 21.
No, go up to the top.
Go up to the top.
What the hell are you doing, man?
Top of what?
I put it in his comments.
Oh. Scroll down,
scrolling, scrolling,
scrolling. There we go. Night Watch.
Night Watch has incredible potential.
That
looks
pretty fucking cool.
Really, really cool.
Yeah, it looks like a combination of
Underworld. X-Men and horror and Underworld.
Underworld and, but it looks darker than Underworld.
Yeah, it looks much better than Underworld.
Yeah.
Because it's got all sorts of fantastical craziness.
Yeah, yeah.
It looks like a horror comic booky type thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say a mixture of Underworld and Sin City.
That's a good comparison, yeah, Underworld and Sin City.
Yeah, so I just wanted to mention that real quick because I do recant those statements.
Real quick.
No points for recant?
All right, I'm going to give you... I'll give you 4 points.
4 points for recant.
For recant, for being a big man and recanting. Oh, sorry, I was getting ahead of myself.
I meant for using the word recant.
Oh.
I don't get any points for that.
No.
Okay.
That's an easy word to use.
All right, fine.
I watched two
movies. Oh, screw you. I don't want to talk to you now.
No, look, pal.
Okay.
Look.
All right, why?
You'll
why?
Be happy about what I'm going to tell you.
Oh, really?
I watched two movies.
Oh, you did you?
I watched Clerks.
Yes.
Eh. It was too contrived. The way the people talked, yes. I mean, they had this crazy dialogue, and it was reminiscent of, you know, the people standing in the window and talking about crazies. Cats and dogs and da 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 da. People don't talk that way.
No,
it was too. I don't know, that was something about it. I don't know.
Though.
And the guy, the main character, was so fucking whiny. I wanted to punch him right in the head, which maybe means he did a good job because his character was supposed to be whiny.
Right.
I don't know. I didn't find myself laughing. I mean, a couple parts were funny.
Right.
The part where the chick did the dead guy, that was funny.
Yeah,
I mean, you can laugh at necrophilia because necrophilia is funny.
Every time I do,
right.
Well, I will give you 5 points for watching it.
All right, cool. And I did watch the movie Confessions of a Dangerous Mind.
Yes, I think I've seen it before, but I don't really remember it all that well.
I really liked it.
Really,
I really liked it.
I'll have to
watch
it.
It was very well done. However, the scene that Derek claimed was a really good contender for best thing.
Yes.
No points.
No points for Derek.
Nothing.
After all his hard work.
Punked. The scene was him walking into NBC. He does ask for an interview.
Yes.
And he's walking in a group of people who are being led through on a tour.
Yeah.
And he drops off the end, goes to the counter, asks for a thing, walks off to the right. They pan back across. As the lady comes back across the lobby with her people. And then they pan to the right, and it picks him coming back up as an employee now.
Okay.
So the scene's gone on.
Okay.
Pans to the right. He disappears. It pans back in behind the counter where you see that same blonde lady talking to a friend about something. Pans just to the right, and he's sitting at the counter drinking a cup of coffee. That's it.
That's kind of cool. I don't know that
it was cool.
I don't know that it would beat the Serenity
compare
intro.
Compare the two... Side by side,
right.
Not even the contender.
Right.
Sorry, no competition points for you, Derek.
Good effort, though. We'll give you a couple of points for effort.
But I did watch the movie. It was a good movie. I'll give you 2 points for it being a very good movie.
There you go.
So on a D20 scale, I'm going to give that one a 16. I'm going to give Clerks a 14.
Woo! All right. I think the other thing to note about Clerks is that I do think that there has been a lot of borrowing from Clerks. And so now when you go and watch Clerks,
it doesn't seem so impressive.
It seems like Clerks is borrowing from them instead of really the other way around. So, I don't know.
Maybe.
All right.
Okay.
Movie making. And your first one is making movies. So, when you want to make a movie, you need a camera, a script, and then you make a movie.
Right.
There you go.
When you want to make a movie, you make a movie.
That's right. Step one, collect the underwear. Step two, step three, profit.
All right. I found this website called Scenarios USA, and it's basically a bunch of, it's called Kids Creating Social Change.
Yeah, I
saw this. And
there are
a bunch of movie shorts based around social issues.
It looks like you have to pay for them,
sex stuff. Yeah. No, you don't.
You don't.
Just
clicking the wrong links.
There is a section in here that I linked to that has a couple, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, so 8, a few, many, many PDFs that break down the different steps in creating a movie. And they're interesting. It's like a workbook that they've broken down into different sections. You can download these, and there's script writing practices.
Oh, that's cool. So you can sort of go through lessons.
Yes.
Very cool.
So they were very interesting.
Did you go through the storytelling the basics one?
Yes, I did. So I read through that. It's good. It's good. They're not. It's nothing groundbreaking here.
Right.
It's like a workbook. You know, you've got blank areas where they say, here's an idea for a script. Finish writing the script.
Oh, that's cool.
Here's what storyboards look like.
Yeah,
here's a small scene. Storyboard the scene.
Very cool.
Things like that. I only got through about three of them, and I didn't have time to go through the rest.
And I think more and more now that, especially as the technology to make movies becomes cheaper and cheaper, that it's more accessible to more people, and it's nice to have resources available to these people to hone their craft, as it were.
Yes, indeed.
So, good deal.
Yeah, so I thought that was interesting, so give that a look-see.
All right.
And then lastly, I found a link that points to several different links.
Wow.
Talking about how to make your video
like
a film.
Yeah.
Many, many different techniques here. And all of them, in my opinion, somewhat more complicated than the average Joe who uses Windows Movie Maker could
probably one of the people that I'd like to chime in on this. Does that a sentence?
It is. Does that a sentence? That's not a sentence.
Does that a sentence? Is Blue Screen Mike.
Yes.
I'd be interested to see what he had to say about these links
I completely concur.
And just his suggestions about making DV look like film.
Right.
Because I bet he's done some work on it
before.
But one of the interesting things they talk about, especially in making DV look like film, is depth of field.
Yes.
And said that's a big problem for, I mean, essentially camcorders are designed for people recording birthday parties.
Right.
And is it depth of field or focal length?
I believe they said depth of field.
Depth of field.
You're referring to what I think you're referring
to.
So
what they want is they want the people up close and the people far away to all be in focus. And the reason that's desirable is because most of the time you're doing it for lack of a better word, historical recording. And you want everyone in focus.
Right.
The problem is that people don't see that way.
Correct.
When you've
it's too real.
When you're looking at someone, the things that are behind that person are generally out of focus.
Yes, they are.
And so the image that the camcorder records is not really a true-life image of how people see things.
And that's what people mean. When you look at something filmed on video, it looks too real. Everything is so clear and so not gritty that when you compare that to what you normally see in the theater, you're like, it doesn't look right. It doesn't look right. In fact, just the opposite is actually true. A movie looks much less real than
that's
a video.
That's right.
But we've come to expect that.
Right. Yep. And I've noticed that. It's so strange. I've noticed the same thing, actually, about soap operas.
Yes, soap operas.
If you
look at daytime television, it looks crystal clear.
Yeah, and it's just like it's weird to see that versus like an episode of Seinfeld. I think the general term that most people use is production quality.
Yep,
and that has a a lot of connotations with a lot of other things, but you can tell just by even a single frame that it's just filmed differently than something of a higher production quality. So tough to get that feeling. It's tough to get that look.
And after looking at some of these articles, I actually went through the other night, and I was up till I was pretty late going through. In fact, my book is still there.
Your wife is gone.
The instruction
you're up late.
Manual for my video camera.
Yes.
And I went through and got reacquainted with my camera.
Yep.
Turned down the brightness on my monitor, so I got it. I mean, I basically turned the brightness down to nothing.
Yeah.
So the next time we film, I forgot how to do that, so we can make the lighting look more appropriate.
Yep.
Worked with dropping down my frames per second to shutter rate to one to 1/60, which is supposed to help get a little bit of a grittier feel to it.
Yes.
Just kind of, you know, I refamiliarized myself with my camera. I think that's good to do every once in a while.
Oh, yeah. I think it's very good.
Because I'd completely forgotten how to use the damn thing the last
time
we filmed.
And I think that another maybe tip is go through the instruction book.
Yeah.
I think a lot of especially technical people just grab a video camera and they're like, I don't need the instruction book. I'm just going to do the thing and the stuff.
Yep.
And they never recognize the fact that there might be some hidden features in there that you don't generally just run across that you might be able to use.
Right. So, and once I went through that again and found a couple things, I was like, oh, man, I totally
forgot
about that.
This would have made
this
so much easier.
Yeah, and if I had just read the, you know, reacquainted myself before we filmed the last time, I probably would have had a couple tricks to help us make things a little more clear.
Yeah.
So
good stuff.
But definitely the monitor trick is going to really help with the lighting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So,
okay, on to RPG stuff.
All right, Zendrick Expeditions.
What on earth is that?
Zendrick is one of the unexplored continents of the Eberron campaign. The RPGA, which is the Role Playing Game Association, I believe, from Wizards of the Coast,
okay,
is starting up a new RPGA sanctioned campaign.
Ah, that's right. They have the RPGA sanctioned campaigns,
yes,
where in which you have to be a sanctioned dungeon master and
a sanctioned
player. And
that
way it flattens out competitions or it flattens out games at conventions.
Yes, it's the ability to make a character that that follows the same rules as every character, so that way everybody, you know, nobody's cheating in the game.
Right.
It's basically a paper version of a massively multiplayer online role-playing game.
That's right.
And I'm guessing they chose Zendrick because that is now the continent that has been fleshed out by DDO.
Oh.
There really has been no information on Zendrick, even from the source books, and that's the reason the people at Turban picked that for DDO, is because then they didn't have to worry about following preset cities, and they could make their own stuff up.
But now, don't they have to coordinate their stuff with DDO?
I'm assuming they will. I'm assuming that's why they're doing it.
Or maybe they're hoping that maybe it's like a cross-marketing thing.
And maybe it is.
Yeah.
So
interesting.
And just because I'm a D20 and Wizards of the Coast freak, I felt a little bad.
Okay.
So I have a link on here posted to GURPS Lite. GURPS is the Generic Universal Role-Playing System by Steve Jackson Games.
Yes, it is.
And the Lite edition of the rules is a way to familiarize yourself with the GURPS rules.
Excellent.
And how it works.
Excellent.
It's a free PDF.
And as we've said several times here, is that I firmly believe that the rules are secondary.
They're inconsequential.
And I wouldn't say inconsequential. Oh, I just said it.
Oh, damn it!
Maybe I would say
you.
It. They're secondary to the people that you play with.
Yes.
The dungeon master.
And the story.
And the story. So, to get a free set of rules online and then create an adventure around it and then get together with your friends, you're going to have an awesome time.
I completely agree.
And there's no need to spend $100 on books if you don't have it.
Yep. And that was kind of my point here.
So now
free set of light rules.
Now you have no fucking excuse to not get together.
Grab your friends, grab your dice, but don't grab your friends' dice.
Ah, very good. Very good point.
So GURPS Lite. They run on D6s.
I like that.
Completely skill-based. You don't gain XP, you gain points
skill
to spend
points
on your character.
Yep.
So
similar to the Chaosium system.
Yes.
Yep.
I realized as I was reading the rules.
Oh, they also have downloads for. Nah, I don't bother.
Yeah, there. You can download all the rules.
It looks like GURPS screens.
Yep.
The GM screen.
You can order PDF versions of all the GURPS stuff.
Nice.
The light version just happens to be the free version.
Nice.
I noticed as I was reading through the GURPS light rules that I really, I'm so familiar with the D20 rules that anything else that
it's a little hard to switch over.
Hard for me to even stomach reading them because I'm like, ah, oh, well, I've already got something I like.
Well, and like the Geeks On guy said, is that one of the most important factors to a smooth game playing experience is familiarity with the rules.
Yes.
And I think that once you get familiar with a set of rules, it's relatively important to stick to that set.
Right. Because you can move on, get to what's important, which is, you know, telling the story and getting people to interact with it.
Yeah. Yep. Good stuff.
Wow, that was deep.
That was deep.
And for those of you who enjoy making your own maps in your RPG sessions.
Speaking about deep. No, this doesn't really have anything to do with anything deep.
Making RPG maps.
Yeah. This is an application called AutoRealm.
Yes.
And I think it's a play on the word Autodesk.
I believe so.
Because it's a very CAD-like experience.
Right.
It's a mapping program. It's drag and drop. One of the coolest features of this thing is... I don't know what it's called, but...
That's a good feature.
Yeah. It's called shit. I don't know what it's called. It's tough to talk about, but... No. It's where you drag a line from one point to another, and... the line is sort of zigzaggy randomized.
Okay.
So you can easily make like a coastline.
Right. It's like fractals.
That's exactly what it is. They call it a fractal line. Now I do remember
now
what it
is. Now
you
do remember. Fractals are the bomb.
Yeah.
Especially when making maps.
So you can draw a fractal line for like a coastline.
Right.
They have burps. Nice. I didn't do that one out loud.
No.
I'm getting better.
Unfortunate.
So it's really cool if you need to make a quick map for your adventure or for your LARPing game or for your world conquest.
Yes. Otisburg.
Otis.
It's the Superman reference.
Oh.
Sorry.
Sorry. Otisburg. Yes. Otisburg. There you go. AutoRealm. Good right. stuff.
I may use this.
You can
this.
Make your own Otisburg.
I may use this, yeah. Sterlingsburg?
Sterlingsburg.
Dansburg.
There is a Dansville.
There's a Dansville and a Williamston.
And a Williamston. And they're on the same sign.
They're on the same sign. That's crazy. Okay. I think I'm going to be using AutoRealm to make the maps for our next adventure, which, by the way,
have you downloaded this? Have you tried it?
Yeah, I tried it many, many moons ago.
It's amazing.
Our next adventure, actually, is going to be based from a lot of stuff from the Heroes of Battle book, so it's going to be basically an all-out war in D&D.
Nice.
And I'm going to kill all my players.
Oh,
it's
no,
going
dude.
To be sweet.
I'm going to rain down a storm of fireballs like you haven't seen since the Fourth Plague.
Tim the Terror.
Was that the Fourth Plague?
I don't know.
Could I don't know been. Either. I just thought I'd throw it out.
All right, so there we go.
I figured nobody else would know either.
RPG maps. Good stuff.
Good
and
stuff. And last but not least,
I found a blurb on the Seven Swords site referencing the fact there will be a massive online role-playing game based on the Seven Swords, which is the movie that we know nothing about because we just have a website and no...
I hope clicking on all this shit isn't fucking up Audacity here.
It's fine.
I don't know. All right.
I'll stop doing it.
If there's glitching, sorry about that, guys.
It's not here. Anyway, I ended up having to look around here. Wow, I thought I linked it right. I must have mislinked it.
Yeah, so you guys can just listen to the mouse clicks while we link.
Clickety clackety click 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 clack. Clack. Anyhow, so Seven Swords, MMOG, cool stuff.
And scene.
That was horrible. Alright, I'm Sterling, and I'm done.
I'm Dan, and I'm finished.
Oh, fuck. If I'm done, that means I'm a baked good.
That's right, you motherfucker.
Thank you.
Pew 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 p